Episode 430, July 1st, 2019.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
please
are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
Doing a chat room-less show, Joe.
Gramps is not happy.
When he ranks his things he looks forward to each week, this being in the chat room is top five, right?
Top five? I think it's number one pretty okay. Clearly. I do think this show is the most important thing in his life. Don't tell my poor stepmother.
Okay.
I'm sure that he loves my stepmother more than he loves this show. But he definitely likes this show more than anything else in the world.
If he had to choose between... It was either miss the wedding or never listen to the Robin Joe show again.
He would have begrudgingly went to the wedding.
But he would have hated every
second
of it.
He would have been fucking pissed. He'd been trying to get out of it the whole time. He'd be like, you know, I haven't been feeling too well.
Yeah.
I've heard if you fly, you know, he'd want an out.
It's going to be really hot. You know what that does to me.
Sorry, I'm writing down
yeah,
things I have
that
to remember.
Look at you. It's a very nice notepad you have there.
Well, since my memory's so fucking shot.
Yeah, that is bad. Yeah, it's good to have that. Very professional. Welcome to the show. So do we have an update on the new chat room, Robbie?
It's in the works. It will definitely be all set for everybody next Monday.
It definitely will be set next Monday.
It's in place. It's in place.
I wouldn't say I just definitely. Wanted... That seemed...
No, it's definite.
Okay. Hold on.
I want to make sure I've fully tested. It's a lot more elaborate than what we had before.
Well, give me an example of something that would be more. Is it like more technically sophisticated?
It is. Like you can post GIFs inside there.
Oh, Gramps will love that. He's been dying to post GIFs.
Yes, but I mean, it's stuff that we don't need, but people will be very happy.
Well, that's good. We can grow with the chat room.
I just looked up definitely the definition, and it means without doubt.
Okay,
certain. Okay, so it's beyond question.
I have it at about 75%.
Well, no, it's 100%. Maybe
well,
you don't know
my,
what definitely
that's
means.
My judgment, that Robbie has it 100%.
No, it's 100%.
It's not like you guarantee something that's out of your control.
Yeah, something that doesn't exist. How can you guarantee
no,
it?
It does. No, it exists. It's in place. I've seen it working.
Okay, but somebody else has to do something for this to come to fruition, right?
No. All I've got to do is switch the link and everybody will be...
Oh, so you're the one responsible.
The page is set up. I just have to...
So why don't we have it tonight?
Well, there were several reasons. I don't want to go too inside, but I wanted to...
You're having sex for 7 hours?
It just makes it easier when we're doing two back-to-back shows to record in a bubble. And I have not had the chance to test it and see how it works. And I also haven't had a chance to set up Gramps. He's going to need a tutorial.
Oh, I see.
You
there
don't
we
want
go.
That chat room to exist without Dad.
He would be furious.
He will be asking me questions during the show, and how do I do this? I want to give him a full tutorial, and I haven't had an opportunity to do that because it's only been set up one day.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What percentage would you give, like it's 10% because of this. It's 20% because of this. Is the reason we don't have chat tonight because you couldn't get Gramps up and running? Is it 10% of it?
It's like 50%.
That sounds fair to me.
I mean, I wonder how Gramps receives that. Is he flattered by that, or if he's like, damn right?
I think he's flattered.
He knows he can't.
But yeah. Robbie, you didn't do it as an homage. You did it because if there was a chat room tonight and he wasn't in, you didn't want to have to deal with those repercussions.
Correct.
So
I, nor should anybody. That would be sad. That would make me sad knowing we're having this good time and Gramps is sitting there, you know, watching The Bachelorette.
No, he would be texting
me. You do
me.
Understand. I thought Robbie was being, you know, he was an altruist. He was doing this because he loved his dad so much, which he does, but that's not the reason. It's because he didn't want my dad stressing him out.
I see both sides.
Right.
So welcome to the show. We started, or you started to say something that our dear friend Eric Woodworth did at our latest murder mystery last week. And then sidetracked and you never paid it off.
It's so weird because I said, I'll come back to Eric. And I never did, but at the end of the show, I mentioned how I forget everything. God,
yes.
Today, and we'll get to Eric.
Make sure we don't forget, Robbie.
Yesterday, I could not fucking think of Drew Bledsoe's name. I couldn't think of it.
That's happened to me before with an athlete like
couldn't,
that.
I couldn't conjure it.
Yeah.
Now, thank God I didn't have to look it up, but you want to know how I remembered it?
You saw somebody, there's a guy we play poker with named Drew, and that
brought
you.
I remember that Chris Berman had a nickname for him that had something to do with blood.
Oh, not wetting the blood so not.
No, it was Drew bled so much he needed a transfusion. That was his nickname.
Clever.
And I remember liking that nickname, and that's how I got back to it. But it's concerning. As a matter of fact,
is that your favorite Berman nickname?
No, there was another one I loved. I'm trying to remember what it was.
You know my favorite?
Hold on. Okay. Shit, give me your favorite.
Eric sleeping with Bienemy.
That's a good one. Fuck. Of course, I don't remember.
Why? It's a weird question to just pull off your top of your head and answer.
God, there's one I've always loved. I say it all the time, and now I can't think of it. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Eric Woodworth at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester, Virginia, in our karaoke-themed murder mystery. He plays the farm boy trying to win this competition, Billy Ray Paisley.
He does. Now, it's the second... In my opinion, it's the second most dangerous thing that was ever done that we didn't get in trouble for. The first involves Tommy Cimbazzo. I won't be more specific than that other than Tommy Cimbazzo, his stuffed pants, and an audience member.
Yes.
That's the thing that was the riskiest that we got away with, but it was too risky. You can't do that.
No.
This one, it's just below it, okay? So Eric's on stage, and he takes a drink, and I don't even remember what was going on in the show, and he spits into the audience. Okay? Do you know this, Robbie?
I heard a hint about it. I didn't really hear the whole story.
He spits into the audience, and I don't want to exaggerate, but at least a shot glass full of the water that he spit out of his mouth landed in this lady's aqua-netted hair.
Yes.
Okay?
Right in the front row. A table that was having a great time.
They were having a fucking blast, okay? And I saw her face, and I'm like, her demeanor is about...
You had a good angle.
Her demeanor is about to change. Now, I'm like, I got to fucking do damage control, and I was already, thank God, I had diffused the fact that there was a kid there that we sent home,
yes.
Right? That was diffused, and now Eric had just spit on... Now, think about this. Just take it at its face value, okay? Somebody calls the club and goes, hey, I was at your show, and I was watching Die Laughing, and one of the people in the cast spit on me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's way out of context, but do we recover from that?
Well, it's factually correct.
Yes. And I remember I walked over to the table afterwards, and she wasn't in there. She's probably in the bathroom.
Yeah, like
flat
a normal
ironing
person
her hair, yes.
Would be.
Right, trying to deal with what had just the trauma that had just happened to her. And I said... Remember there was like a small blonde lady who was very loud who was sitting at that table before?
Yes.
And I go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that, you know, I can't believe that he spit that water on her. And she goes, ah, fuck her. That was her friend.
Well, we don't want Eric thinking that's okay though.
No, I'm pretty sure he's, I mean, here's the problem. I'm sure he knows you can't spit on audience members. He probably knows that now. He probably knew it before.
Why would he? Okay, I would hope that he knows it before.
In the moment, hell, we were just talking about something that happened in the moment on the bonus show. This is a lot less likely. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in the moment, he thought it would be a funny to spit into the audience, and it landed on maybe an older lady with hairsprayed hair. It's the worst person it could land on.
Yes.
Right? Because they're the one most likely to complain. They're the most likely to not recover from it. Right? The most damage would be done.
Yeah.
Because if somebody spit water on me, I probably wouldn't care.
Most likely for management to believe.
Right. But he didn't say, wow, I'm going to spit water into the audience. It happened like that.
You sure it was water and not beer?
It might even have been beer, yeah.
I'm thinking, or vodka soda. Hey, you might be making
can
it
we call Eric
bad.
Real quick, Robbie? Can we do that?
I think we can.
Yeah, Robbie, can you give him a call? I want to know if it was beer.
I don't know about quick, but let me see if I can work this out.
All right, well, while you're doing, we'll continue. So I actually saw that lady afterwards, and she wasn't upset. Now, she was upset, but I think there's the circumstances that exact same lady would have been furious.
And she'd have every right to be furious. Because we don't have a comeback. We can't say, well, it's part of the show.
I mean, like, what's the matter with you? Yeah. You can't get spit on?
Look, you should know that come into a... No, you shouldn't know that.
What kind of prude are you that some person that you never met before can't spit on you? Yeah, I don't... There we go.
Guess you don't like comedy. Calling Eric Woodworth. Having lost 50 pounds now. He's got that spit on women confidence.
Let me see if he can defend it. Maybe he can defend it.
He will. I don't know if we're going to accept
it. Pick up.
You got to be aggressive, Robbie. You got to be aggressive.
You got to say you're Chris Restiva, who he always picks up for.
While it's ringing, we're going to get his voicemail. And I'm going to text him right now, and I'm going to say, pick us up. Here we go.
Ahoy, hoy.
Oh, hey! Yes. Okay, I don't need to text him.
Eric
Perfect.
Woodworth, Robin Joe Show.
It's the Robin Joe Show. Hey, what's going on, fellas?
By the way, I heard Eric on his show and on Laugh Finder. He hasn't told the story. So maybe it's not a big deal to him. Maybe he thinks it's nothing.
It's a regular day occurrence in his life. So at the Brightbox show, I believe it was the Late Show. No, we only had one show.
It was Late Show. It was also the early show.
You spit a liquid onto a woman in the front row. Do you care to explain that?
Listen, it was... first of all, let me start off by saying I'm a performance artist. Okay? So anything that came out is all part of the show and the experience that is Die Laughing Productions and Eric Woodworth.
Well, real quick, Eric,
No, it was for the lady who was singing the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
And it was specifically the part where she says... when you spit in my eye, right? And then I took a big old sip of vodka soda.
It was vodka. Okay, that's what we thought. Yeah. You wasted your alcohol, too. So it's one thing. You know, it's weird. We were hoping that it was water, but what's better? I guess it's all horrible but it's better to have water spit on you than to have vodka soda.
Water's the best thing to have on you. Liquid.
Yeah, it spits the worst.
Well,
right
wait a minute. Vodka, you pour into wounds to disinfect. If anything, it's better to spit
she
live alcohol
thank you,
at somebody than water.
Here's my question. The lady, how long before you spit it, did it occur to you that you were going to do that?
As it was happening, I was like, oh, there's a part where it says spit. I'm going to get a big old waft. But the intention was not to spit it on the crowd. It was to go directly up. And then it's like, as I spit it, I was like, oh, man, that's kind of out. And then I watched it, and gravity works as it does.
Yeah.
Stumbled onto that whole front row of people.
Now, here's my question, because I saw it. I saw it happen, and I actually saw the person that it landed on. If I were a sketch artist, would you be able to describe her?
She kind of looked like imagine a B. Arthur, but like add like 50 pounds.
I don't agree. I think she was more like Phyllis from The Office.
Okay.
And I don't know if you...
Phyllis from The Office. All right.
I don't know if you noticed this, but...
Like she had more silvery-haired complexion.
Well, I guess what I want you to know is, do you know, I'll bet you, over under, how long do you think it took her to do her hair?
How long did it take her to do her hair? You know, I don't know. I mean, I look at how long it just takes to prep my mullet daily. I mean, there's a lot of prep that goes into it. I'd say at least, you know, maybe a half hour to 45 minutes.
I don't think it was 45, but her hair, it was very helmet-like. It definitely could, it didn't want water on it.
It took some work.
It took her work, and she had sprayed it, and it was also a night out. Because they were, she was there
Saturday
with,
night.
It was Saturday night. She was there with three other women. It's like, we're going to party tonight. Mm-hmm. And she got herself ready. And you then spit water on her. Now, I don't know if you know this. I actually went over to apologize for your behavior, and she wasn't at the table. And I asked, you remember the little blonde that was there at the front table with her?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I said to her, I go, hey, I'm so sorry. Is she okay? And what do you think the blonde said?
She said, I bet you she said that lady was effing pissed.
No. She goes, ah, fuck her.
Yeah.
Eric, would we be, cramping your artistic spirit and the artist in you to just to let you know, just please don't ever spit on an audience member?
Did you ever think, Rob, that we would have to tell Eric that he wasn't allowed to spit on the audience? Did you think, like, now I need to know, right, where, like, do we really need to make these rules? We do. Don't shit on the audience. Don't jerk off on the audience.
Don't dick slap.
You follow what I'm saying? I mean,
whoa, you're coming with a lot of rules that I haven't even broken yet, guys. The trick is let them happen first.
Well, maybe it's 2 months. Maybe just once a month. One a month, we give a rule so they don't just get bombarded and feel like they're, you know, working, in communist China.
Every once in a while, now Eric is very funny and he has great instincts, but every once in a while, the Jeremy in him comes out. It's it's not every show. It's not even every other show, but you can almost count on him. I'd say three times a year.
Yes.
To Jeremy a little bit.
And I said to Joe, Eric, and in your defense, I said, you know, it's like you have like a Lawrence Taylor like linebacker on your team, and then maybe he gets in a bar fight or he does something crazy or he's doing coke with, you know, hookers at night. Okay. Yeah, but part of what makes him a great football player is the crazy that's inside of him. And so that also manifests itself in negative
32
ways.
32 sacks in a season is worth it.
Right. So sometimes some of the brilliant things you do comes from this part of you that's willing to just do something ridiculous.
First of all, Lawrence Taylor never had 32 sacks in a season, so you might want to dial down your level of talent, okay? Please.
You're no, so don't break Joe Theismann's leg by spitting on him in the front row is what we're saying.
If I say how funny is Eric, let me tell you how funny he is. We let him spit on the audience and he didn't even get in trouble.
There was nothing happened. He wasn't fined. Nothing changed.
He was praised. He was praised for spitting on the audience.
You guys are the ones that are freaking out, but because listen, even though I did that, her best friend still thought I was that charming. So if anything,
yes.
If anything, when you go to a performance, you're in the front row. You need to expect that sometimes you're going to get a little blowback from the thing. You think somebody goes back from a Kid Rock concert, like, oh, I got a little Kid Rock sweat on them. No, they're excited.
Same thing.
Anything, you're not Kid Rock.
Bottle what I put on her and save it.
You heard that their favorite,
you're my Kid Rock, Eric.
Their favorite comedian wasn't Gallagher. It was the other guy. What's the other Gallagher's name? Gallagher Light. What's that guy's name?
Gallagher 2.
That's it. Gallagher 2. They loved Gallagher 2.
It's funny. Right before the show, Eric, I was describing, our idea for the New Year's Eve murder mystery. Be it McGooby's Joke House, by the way, plan ahead. Mm-hmm. And right after we had just discussed that we were going to talk about you spitting, I then outlined how you're basically the star of this murder mystery. So clearly, it's not affecting us giving you opportunities.
Hell yeah.
So
I'm excited. Listen, I think if I've learned anything from this is that it's going to really encourage more of this type of behavior moving forward.
Yeah, it's not what we wanted out of this conversation. Hey, probably that's what happened.
What's the name of your character in the new murder mystery? We were trying. It's Beauregard. We don't know the rest.
Well,
of the name.
I had asked you in text a while back. Just some drunken billion, not drunk, it's a billionaire, you know, southern hootie-tootie guy.
Hootie-tootie.
What you, I think you had a name. Like,
I think you were hoity-toity, but go ahead.
Whatever.
Hootie-tootie and the blowfish.
Hoity-toity.
Hoity and the blowfish.
Yeah.
It's a white guy with a monocle, but they do all the same songs.
Do It to Me One More Time by the Commodores. You had a name at the ready. Beauregard something?
I don't know, but I liked Beauregard. It was like Beauregard J. Simpson or
Beauregard Clancy Monroe the Third. Something.
Yeah, you definitely have to have a number at the end,
and
right?
It's got to be three names: a middle and a last and a number. Yes.
You just pick three like people from the Civil War era that lost battles. That's my name. That's what I wanted.
Beauregard Sherman.
So I was listening to Eric's podcast. Let me give him a shout out. Quality Time.
Good
and I don't
stuff.
Know if you know, but they do a segment pretty much every episode called Joe Robinson Corrections.
I
and
do
I
know.
Listen to it and I text in all
oh,
the things.
Oh, and I know you probably had the biggest one after the first like 5 minutes of this last episode. That was
well, are you talking about High Society Magazine?
No. I was talking about the new Terminator 2 episode that just dropped. So
oh, I haven't
that,
heard that.
I listened to a correction that's so big that I was like, there's not. He's going to call the second he hears it. He's going
to
lose his
mind. Well, I was listening to the second part of Society. It's a movie no one's ever heard of and no one will ever see that they did two parts on. But doesn't matter. That's neither here nor there. Jeremy referenced High Society Magazine, which is an old school porn magazine. And I remember this because my friend Mark Quavila's dad used to have a stack of porn magazines and I used to go over there. And he didn't have Playboy and Penthouse. He had the ones where people were pissing and shitting on each other. And High Society was one of those magazines.
Yes.
And of course, I was very.
And Fox. Those are real quality articles in those ones.
And I was. There's no articles in these. This is where I saw the inside of a woman for the first time. But he's, of course, referenced High Society, and Eric immediately thought it was High Times. And I was so excited, I gave him the correction. But Jeremy did something he's never done before in the history of Quality Time.
Uh oh.
He waited 25 minutes to correct Eric.
Who did?
Jeremy.
Does he, and he usually corrects them on the spot?
They never correct each other. They say the dumbest shit. Jeremy's always trying to remember some name of someone that no one's ever heard of, and he's getting that wrong. He's like, Jim Davidson. That's it. You know, and it doesn't matter. But when I get a correction, they usually don't circle back. They've never done that. I don't even know what registered in Jeremy's head, but after Eric thought High Society was a magazine about, you know, different strands of ganja, nothing was said. And then almost near the end, he goes, oh, by the way, and he takes my fucking correction away from me. So that's my correction. That's my correction. That's not the deal we've struck.
Yeah, come on, Jeremy. We're not going to call Jeremy,
hey,
by the way.
Listen, Jeremy's making big strides. Let me tell you. But more importantly, we're not going to do any fact checking on the spot ever. That's we really solely rely on you for that.
Well, thanks, but tell Jeremy to quit stealing my thunder.
We got to run, Eric. But real quick, I just sent you and Robbie. I forwarded Chris Restivo's Gramps impression that he sent me. So,
Oh no!
Give a
really?
Listen. Check it out. Thanks, Eric. We'll see
Consider
you soon.
These pants are coming off.
Let's take a break.
All right,
be right.
See you guys.
Be right back.
Later.
Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hi, this is radio personality and morning show host Justin Schlegel back to tell you about the newest interactive, hilarious whodunit from Die Laughing Productions, Hit Me 90s One More Time. In this show, I really get to stretch my acting chops. I play a radio personality. This time, we're taking you back to the 1990s. You're at a radio station promotional event where listeners battle it out for the hottest concert tickets of the year, Ace of Base. Everything goes smoothly and no one dies. Not, actually, some unlucky person will not just be losing their religion, but meeting their fate. And top market DJ Slater in the Morning, that's me, must solve the murder. Hit Me 90s One More Time also stars two princes, Mr. Jones, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions comedians, and most importantly, you, the audience. Come celebrate the 90s with us, for all we really want to do is have some fun, jump around, and help you get through this semi-charm kind of life. Don't miss Hit Me 90s One More Time. Eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Next performance July 21st at the DC Improv. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
I want to give a special shout out to the Rob and Joe Show. Being on the show has been a wonderful experience.
The day
couldn't have been more perfect.
The wedding was at 5, and it's a 30-second walk to our, from our rooms. We had to be ready at 1:45.
I look in it. There's another date in here. So that date is 5/2/07. So this ring is from a failed marriage.
I also want to give a huge congratulations to Joe and Katie and wish them a happy marriage.
Let me ask you, what constitutes sex? Everything? No matter what we did, it's sex. Whenever the stuff comes out, that's sex.
Yes. Jesus Christ.
Katie's going to cut your dick off. I killed my wife while I played football.
You're such a fucking dick.
Admit it, Katie Robinson. Gramps is safer in Baltimore than Joe is at home.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
Hey.
Oh, my God. Without Gramps, it's not the same.
If my wife wasn't mysteriously murdered, she'd probably be wishing me happy Father's Day right now.
Great people. Wonderful people.
Is Turtle from Entourage an A-list?
That was pretty funny.
What a fucking asshole.
Is Father's Day an A-list holiday?
Nobody gives hand jobs.
Well, I have to make an appearance at a club in 20 minutes with Jose, Jack, and Johnny Walker. Only one of them is Mexican, by the way, and he's legal.
Is Matt Colby now our chat all-star? Is he our number one?
What's the word I'm looking for?
A real humdinger?
That's correct.
A barn burner?
It is a humdinger. That is a fact.
A honeymoon hand job.
Right. Thank you.
What would be the closest to a humdinger?
A hootenanny?
No. A hootenanny's good.
But I'd rather be balls deep in a room of whores right now and higher than Cypress Hill at the BET Awards to record this drop.
You're like the guy who played Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds who got killed in Bloodsport. What I'm the most known for is fighting with Tom Arnold and Dan Nine.
Yes, that's probably true.
Cheers to the listeners and fans. And Tom Myers, go fuck yourself.
I go, oh, by the way, I do the pregame for the Baltimore Ravens.
Fantastic work, as always, Mr. I assume Jim Amato.
Yes, of course.
What was the heavy breathing? I don't remember that.
No, we breathe heavily all the time.
He was embellishing.
Got a question, Joe.
The topic was sex. It's a...
Okay. Who's more likely to at one point in their life be an A-lister? Myself, Rob Mara, you, Joe Robinson, or one, Dan Ninen?
I mean...
Shout out, Oki. The documentary is back up. We've been posting it. It is brilliant. I hadn't seen it last week. Thank you for coming on, but it is fantastic.
So there are these people who are infamous for, you know, like Rosie Ruiz is some, isn't she the one who, she was all of a sudden she just entered the Boston Marathon like at mile, you know.
Yes.
22 and won it.
Lorena Bobbitt, somebody who's infamous.
But they're not A-listers.
No.
So... tell me how Dan could ever be an A-lister.
Serial killer.
But you're not an A-list. I guess, is Jeffrey Dahmer an A-lister?
Ted Bundy is, or was when he was at the time.
God, is he an A-lister?
I bet you at the time Ted Bundy was one of the most famous people in the country.
I think Jeffrey Dahmer is, now I know there's a lot of Ted Bundy love recently.
Yeah, it's weird.
But isn't Dahmer the, who's on the Mount Rushmore of serial killers? I mean, Bundy and Dahmer are. Now, you can't ask people like Eric Woodworth or Justin Schlegel. They know they know everyone.
And we're
right?
not counting Charles Manson as a serial killer.
No, you're not. So, okay. So you got Dahmer, you got Bundy, they're on there.
Yes.
Is BTK on there?
What about the clown, the John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy.
What about the Zodiac Killer? Zodiac Killer's on there without even knowing who he is.
What about the Son of Sam?
Yeah. Nicknames help.
I say Son of Sam. Gacy, Bundy, Dahmer. There's your
I say Zodiac Killer over Son of Sam.
I don't know the Zodiac Killer's real name.
Because they never found who he was.
Oh, they never found him?
No.
Did you see the movie? I did. I just forgot.
You forgot that, yeah.
No, Mark Ruffalo's in it, right?
Yeah, and Jake Gyllenhaal mm-hmm. and Robert Downey Jr. It's a good
movie.
There's
actually multiple movies about the Zodiac Killer.
Robbie, who's your Mount Rushmore?
Of serial killers?
Of zodiac signs. I got Capricorn, Sagittarius, Gemini, Leo. Go ahead.
Yeah, those are mine.
I'm lucky I was able to come up with those.
I'll just go with your guys.
No, I have. Mine are all in the Chinese. I have dragon, dog, pig, and cock.
Year of the monkey, idiot.
The Mount Rushmore Joe gave, I agree with, and you can't be infamous serial killer and be an A-lister. It's not. You can be super famous and still not be an A-lister.
Well, O.J. Simpson is 100%.
But he already was an A-lister.
Was he an A-lister?
Yes. O.J. Simpson?
O.J. Simpson's not an A-lister. He can't get a role in a movie anymore.
No, no, I mean
invited to a
before
party.
The murders he was.
God, but isn't he an A-list? Well, he's, I see, because you're, as you're defining it, the David Spade metric. Okay, but there aren't many people
in
this.
Most famous athletes
of the 20th
century.
One of the most famous people. Like my father, he doesn't know who Keith Moon is, but my father fucking knows who O.J. Simpson is.
Of course.
My Katie's grandfather has dementia. I'll bet he knows who O.J. Simpson
by
is.
By name alone, he's the top 100 famous person in the country.
Yeah, even in other countries. Right. His trial is the most famous trial in U.S. history.
Yes.
I think it's more famous than the Scopes Monkey trial and Roe v. Wade and Brown versus the Board of Ed. I think that, especially when it happened, dude, I remember where I was when they read the verdict.
Yeah.
I was at work, and we had a fucking TV in there, and we were all fucking glued to it.
I remember when during the chase. I remember. Anyway, we're trying to. I wanted to talk about Dan Lanning. So the documentary, we'll just recap. We got just an email. Just got this guy who we don't know said, hey, about a month ago, do you want to be part of my documentary I'm making, on Dan Ninen? And we both said, yeah, I don't know if we want to go down the Dan rabbit hole again.
J.O. Covan messaged me and said he contacted him too, and everybody said no.
We all said no, Andy Klein too. And so fast forward, it comes out, and you saw it first, and it was really good. And by the time I went to watch it, by the way, we're featured in it in terms of some things we'd done previously on Nobody Likes Onions, our own podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we're in it a lot. Our faces are in it a lot.
Yeah, you, me, and Russell Peters, and Mark Maron, and Joe Rogan. All the heavy hitters of comedy.
Us on the...
And Patrick Melton.
Us on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah.
Us on 98 Rock.
Yes.
And then my voice on Nobody Likes Onions.
So Dan saw this, and then he contacted YouTube, and our buddy, our new friend, Oki, had to take it down because there's some clips of Dan doing stand-up, which I guess he has the rights to somehow. I don't know how that works. Anyway, he recuts the documentary without those stand-up clips, and now everyone can watch it. It's about half hour long, and it is extremely well done.
I haven't watched it without the stand-up clips, have you? That's all.
Yeah, that's
the
only one I've watched.
And
yeah.
It's still great.
It's fantastic. Oh, it's also good if you don't know anything about it.
Which one's better, Robbie?
I prefer the original one, but the
OG.
Reason the second one is better is because he thanks you guys in the beginning. He thanks Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
God, I still got the fucking second billing, man.
I told you we're by the way, in that clip, Dan is, I remember that he was about to compliment me saying that I'm funny on Nobody Likes Onions. Remember when he's shitting on you? He goes, oh, well, Rob's actually.
Oh, he was?
Yes. but hey, great job with that. And we hope that it gets, and I think there's like 40,000 views right now of him putting it back up. Hopefully it gets to millions.
Oh, man, that'd be great, man.
Yeah, I texted Andy Klein about it. He's like, yeah, I mean to watch it tonight, but, you know, a half hour's not enough. He needs like a whole miniseries. I was like, that's 100% agree.
I heard something. It's who knows if this is true or not. It adds to the lore. The kid, he's 27.
Yeah.
The guy who did the documentary, shout out Oki. I guess he doesn't even give out his real name.
That's how cool he is.
People are trying to kill him, probably.
His real name is known, Adam.
Well, we're Team
his
Adam.
First name.
We like him.
He's
big
awesome.
Fan.
Anyway, he messages me, and I can't remember what we were talking about. He said, hey, reach out to somebody. And a guy who clearly knew Dan because he, did you see the picture I sent from, it looks like it's from like the 1950s or whatever. And it's Dan, obviously, as a young man, he's holding a football. He's got tube socks. He's got some, it looks like he's in like the Nevada desert at the lonely gas station for the next 100 miles. And, he said this guy, so clearly this guy knew Dan when he was younger. I don't know if this is true or not, but he said Dan isn't his real name.
He said, you said it was,
he said his real name is
Cosmo?
Abe.
No, yes.
And, I mean, it's just a regular name, but for some reason, knowing his name is may possibly really Abe Ninen. It kind of cracks me up.
I want to believe that.
God, I hope his name is Abe Ninen.
By the way, Eric texts me. By the way, the Spit story hasn't, but will be on a future Quality Time, but because he hasn't recorded since that show.
I got to hear his version of this.
And it'll probably make Laugh Finder. Probably tomorrow.
Is that Abe Woodworth?
Yeah.
Abe Woodworth.
Eric does the Laugh Finder podcast with Tommy Simbazo. Oh, Eric also gives the round of applause emoji for the Gramps impression by one Chris or Steve. Are you able to play that, Robbie, or can I just play it on my computer and see if it works?
Give it a shot. I need to record it and then replay.
All right, well, Rob will play it here, and then if you want to edit it out and put in the cleaner version.
You're listening to Glance from the Rob and Joe Show. Sorry I couldn't be on the show, but I have to prepare for my Wilford Brimley audition tape. Tune in next time when you can hear Joe say to someone with stand-up comedy, Rob Mayer talk about Chris Restivo's stripper parties, Dan Ninen on his fight to the death with Rob, or watch Marcus Serta drink a gallon of scotch. Go on patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show for more.
It's not horrible.
Look,
it's not horrible.
Chris's impressions, if we're being honest, are not horrible.
Robbie, what'd you think?
From what I could tell, it was almost there.
Yeah, it's not horrible.
No.
It's the best Graham's impersonation I've ever heard. And we have a friend who tries to I have a former friend. You have a friend who tries to impersonate him all the time. He doesn't sound anything like him. That's not bad. Robbie, when Robbie cleans that up and plays that, all right, good job, Chris.
Who's this? Who are you talking about?
Tim does a Gramps impersonation.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm going to play some five card.
Yes.
I had a former friend who also did an impression.
Yeah, that's Chris Nickel. That's the guy who called at 9 p.m. and Robbie stopped being his friend.
That's not what happened.
Could we put we interview Gramps and then we interview Chris as Gramps. We ask them the same question and then people could guess who's the real Gramps. I mean, Chris, that's coming over to your house. Is that okay with you and Katie?
You say you and Katie. There's one part of the equation that you, it's not really my decision.
Hey, just announced, our Ramshead on stage, August 20th, our brand new murder mystery, debuting it. It's our go-to debut place. Love and marriage and murder. It's a wedding theme. Just to give you a little insight, Katie will be marrying Justin Schlegel. Things will not go according to plan, but again, it's on the website. It's for sale right now. DieLaughingProductions.com or RamsHeadOnStage.com.
I was never considered to play Katie's husband in getting married to Katie because it wasn't believable enough.
It's funny because throughout our murder mysteries, there's printed about four or five love interests for Katie.
I've never been the
love interest. Never considered that you would be the one.
And at the end, when I introduce Katie, I always say I used to say my fiance, but now I can say my wife.
You can.
And people are going to be like, what?
Yeah, that's the twist they didn't see coming.
Man, this really is hard to figure out.
That's our second question. Who on the cast is actually married to Katie?
Oh, yeah. I wonder. Although, how many people wear wedding rings? You don't. Justin does.
Or I guess in character. I can't.
I guess we could take it off. I guess I could take my wedding ring off.
That's true.
Actually, the only people married in the murder mystery are me and Eric and Sean, that's not going too well. So
you don't want anyone to steal your ring and put the wrong date on it.
Hey, that's actually we should bring Katie in for that. Hold on, hey Katie,
we're gonna bring Katie Robinson.
Yeah,
is she gonna be angry?
Ask her if it's okay to bring Chris in the house.
Okay.
What's the matter?
Sorry.
I was asleep.
Are you awake enough to?
We woke up, Katie.
I don't know what you're talking about. So you have to
literally
me
just
in.
Started.
Okay.
So
you shouldn't. There's nothing to be angry about yet. Oh, by the way, can we invite Chris or Steve over to do an episode, something for the show, into your home?
To my house?
Yes.
No.
Okay, that's a no. All right.
So, can I tell you what Katie keeps doing?
Okay.
Katie keeps giving me shit.
Being a loving wife.
She's like, when are you going to get that ring done? Now she knows the story. She knows the person who's going to get this date out of my ring is the same person that is after our travel agent.
How much time?
That's a
good
question.
How much time do you get until it's unreasonable amount of time?
Well, we do need to at least distance ourselves far enough from the wedding that he can't then use this information to go complain to the travel agent. You tell me how long you think that is. Do you think we're there now?
I'll give you another month.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We need to distance ourselves a couple months from this before.
Can a month
is still a reasonable time to complain.
I think you need to reset the travel agent. Why that affects.
So, yeah, and I got to be careful because he listens to this. He's going to be mad at me. But so a lot of people got sick when they went to Mexico. Okay?
Well, I mean,
I don't think a lot of people. I think it was a normal amount for people going to Mexico. We had 70 people going to Mexico.
Right. And people got sick. Some people got sick.
Okay.
One of the people that got sick,
I didn't get sick,
was Uncle Mike's wife. And of course, Katie also got sick. Mm-hmm. And so Mikey wanted to complain to the company that sent us to Mexico. Now, meanwhile, you want to know why we went to Mexico? Because we asked to go there.
I picked it. Yeah.
Yes, we said, can you please send us
to
Mexico?
He should sue me, if anything.
Hey, don't give me any ideas. What are you doing? What are you talking about? So he's like, well, I go, I don't want to be involved in this. He goes, all right, no problem. Just give me the name of your travel agent.
And this is the guy that got you the ring. I'm trying to tie this together.
Yes. And so he also said he could buff this date out. I told him there's another date. Yes. I say buff. I don't know what the right term is. So whatever. But I don't want to go until this is all blown over, and then I'll go and I'll get it buffed out.
Yeah. I don't think he cares.
Oh, he cares. He cares. Hold on.
No. I think he doesn't. I think you could give him the ring. He would fix it. I don't think that you need to distance yourself at all. But
I think you should do it as soon as possible at this point.
Do you think? Stop. Do you think?
What do you mean stop? Someone tells you what to something that.
Oh, I thought he was trolling me.
No. Well, they agree with me, and all of a sudden you tell them to stop.
Hold on, because
but
I thought,
just don't care about the travel
agent. I thought he was stirring the pot.
I don't know why you would care about that.
Because
it's over, that relationship.
Right, but if he's upset, Katie cares. You mean okay. You don't know why I would care if he called the travel agent? I wouldn't. Katie said he did. She didn't want that to happen.
No, I just don't want to be involved in whatever it is that he's doing. I don't know why that has to be like there needs to be a time frame on that.
So what I'm trying to tell you, so just this. Rob is saying that he thought that it didn't matter that the travel agent heard, and that's I'm telling you that does matter. Now that you know that. Okay. Everything the
no,
same.
No, I'm saying then I would get ahead of it and I would just talk to the travel agent myself.
So instead of you saying, no, I'm not going to provide this name and make this difficult, you'd say, hey, I got this guy who went with us.
No,
he's going to call and yell at you. No.
I don't want to be involved. Like, I just want to be like completely distanced from the situation, not necessarily from him. I like him.
I like him too, but we want to distance ourselves from that. So the way to do that is to wait for it to blow over.
I don't.
And then go and get it. I mean,
but I don't
think
know
you're just
how,
buying yourself more time.
Even if you're not, don't agree with me. You can at least say, okay, well, I understand your logic. Because I don't necessarily need
but
to
I don't know how she gets involved. How does she even know that he talks to the travel agent?
Does that make sense to you, what Rob is asking?
He told Joe.
Okay, but if he complains, how do you know about that, if he does that?
Well,
does the travel agent say something to you?
That's not his travel agent.
No,
okay, but
thinks,
I don't know how you would ever get involved.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. He thinks that
Mikey's going to
pressure
me.
Mikey's upset with him.
No. Let's start it over. Mikey is upset.
You have to give the name?
Yes, that's okay. Exactly right. He wants the name of our travel agent so he can call and complain.
It's all online. He can get it online.
Okay. So I didn't want...
We give him a fake travel agent. We have Chris Restivo be the travel agent.
But you understand...
Five-plated travel.
Katie's like, hey, I'm not comfortable with that. And I said, okay.
Okay.
By the way, is that bad that I'm not comfortable with that?
No, it's not bad at all.
It's not personal towards him. I just don't...
It's not personal, but if I then call and say, hey, do this, then I'm going to get pressured to do this, and I'd rather avoid it, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not, you follow him coming from?
It's self-serving.
A little bit, yeah, okay. It is self-serving.
I follow, but at some point, I think the travel agent, it's a ridiculous complaint.
There is some point, and that point is in about a month.
Okay.
That point exists, and we've already established when that is.
All right, let's talk about, do you have another neighbor issue, Joe?
Well.
What?
This is Katie doesn't know this.
Okay. I don't know it either. I don't know what we brought you in here for. Sorry, Katie. By the way, I thought you got mad at me about something. We can talk about that too.
If
that's better.
Now, maybe we should talk about because I know she's going to be mad at me.
Yes.
I know she is. So maybe you should see if she was upset with you before.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't mean like upset. I think perturbed. How about that?
I
think okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I agree
and
that
I,
she was perturbed.
I was annoyed.
Okay, I read that correctly.
Okay.
So go ahead and tell that scenario.
Okay. So Katie in our group text, which includes the three of us and, you know, the main Murder Mission people that we always talk about, and about a potential camping trip weekend, and you picked three weekends, I believe, in the August, September timeframe.
Yeah.
And who's available? And the one of them was the first week of the NFL season. And the night before, Joe had just got done telling us how, you know, he's doing the new pregame at 9 a.m. And it's super important for him to do well. And I said, Joe's not going to be available that week. And this was a Friday to Sunday trip were the dates that you were suggesting. Obviously, Sunday. One of these was the first day of the season.
That's correct.
And I said, Joe's not going to be able to do that. And I think you were like, I know when my man can do something and when he can't.
Well, let me also say, I asked why, because I didn't know if I was missing something.
No,
right?
You maybe could have been murmuring. Yeah, you did ask why.
Yeah, I didn't know why. And then when he said it, I was like, okay, well, we're not going. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, we're not really going far. And so maybe he could. So I'm thinking, okay, how can I make this work? But then I'm like, wait a minute. Why the fuck is Rob telling everybody that Joe is unavailable? Joe has not responded. I feel like. Let's see what Joe has to say about this, right? But really, I wanted Joe to text me and be like, hey, like, it's fine, right? Like we can go. But he didn't see it yet. So then I really wasn't mad. I was just more like.
Well, let me say this. I'm not really in the mood to defend Rob since he didn't back me on the.
Isn't it a little bit like the neighbors, right? Where you're telling the neighbor's kids not to do something, but you're just like, okay, well, he can tell them not to do something. It's very.
So I'll ask it this way. Let's say Rob said, hey, we're going to do something this day. And you noticed that I had a Ravens broadcast at 9 a.m. the next morning. Would you have said, hey, Joe can't do it because he has a Ravens broadcast? Or would you have gone and said, hey, are you willing to wake up? You probably would have said that I can't do it.
I don't know. I probably would have said, I think Joe has the Ravens game, but I don't know if I would have said for sure whether or not you would do it.
Okay. So I will say
this. Does that make sense?
When you said that I couldn't do it and she reacted that way, now I have to do it. So thanks
a lot.
Which
is what I thought.
No, I don't want to do it anymore.
I'm just kidding.
No, I don't want to do it anymore.
But
seriously.
Then I got perturbed
Justin
with you.
Justin and I, we already got a whole other plan going on. You don't need to be involved.
Because then I got perturbed with you because you acted like I sleep later. You said noon, which I wish I slept that late. Then you acted like because I sleep later than most people, which I do, that I was abnormal and thinking that Joe would want to get up at 4 a.m.
Yes.
Pack up his campsite and either drive by himself 2.5 hours,
tent, take down
okay.
the pole,
shower,
hey.
Get ready, go to the station. I thought that was not an ideal situation for something he said 24 hours early was incredibly important.
And then I was mad at you because
now
I'm like, now I got to fucking
yes.
wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning
right.
because you don't tell her what I can do.
Right. Exactly.
Meanwhile, I have no control over my own life.
I'm glad we all saw this right. We're all on the same page. What was happening here?
I mean, Joe wakes up unreasonably early every morning. So, yeah, I didn't think it was a big deal.
Right.
I just thought it was weird that you didn't say, I think Joe has a Ravens game that day. You said, Joe can't go.
So I just didn't like you telling her what I could do. Meanwhile, I'm not even involved in what I could do.
Right. Well, guess
you
what?
You two are deciding.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Nobody's going now.
Well, I just assumed that was a bad weekend. Now, if I'm wrong, if you think on one of the biggest, most important radio days of your life,
I'm going to tell
honestly,
you the truth.
Getting up at 4 a.m. is a wise idea.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I would prefer it not be that day, but if it's the only day that we can do it, I will make the sacrifice and either leave that night or wake up early. I will do that.
Right. We'd leave the night before. You're not going to wait until, why would you, you're going to be up till 1. Why would you leave at 4? We just leave at night.
Well, they're Friday and Saturday night, so
right,
it's not like it's only one night.
That's true.
It's quite a bit of time, but it is what I don't want to go anymore. I swear to God, I don't want to go anymore.
Why don't you want to go because of that?
No, I know you don't want to go, so I don't want to go.
Wait a second.
I'm out of it, Robbie. I'm in the clear now on Joe.
I've never said anything other than I don't
three times in this last 5 minutes you've said,
yes,
I clearly wouldn't like to go that weekend.
Yes, hold on. I clearly don't want to wake up at 4 a.m. and go. I certainly would leave that night. Obviously, another weekend other than the first weekend of the season would be a better weekend. But I'd rather go than not.
It wasn't an option.
I'd rather go than not go at all. But I certainly shouldn't be in trouble. I mean, you know what I mean? Like that. This is a perfectly reasonable thing to say. All right, well, let's try.
Who's in trouble?
Well, now we're not going. I mean, it sounds like a tantrum. You know what I mean?
Well, she's saying that the non-football week wasn't available for
got
somebody
it.
Else.
I got it. So if my choices are to either leave late or wake up early or not go at all, I'll leave late or wake up early. Okay, I will do that.
Or you'll get.
But it's not unreasonable to say, all right, well, let's try.
Do you think it's unreasonable for somebody to respond to somebody saying, yeah, I mean, clearly it's not the ideal weekend.
Right?
And then be like, okay, well, I just don't want to do it then.
But I do want to do it.
Okay.
So I should have said that might be a tough weekend for Joe because of
By the way, it's not a big deal. It was like 2 seconds. I don't get very upset with anybody normally. No matter what anybody says in those group chats, I'm usually like, I think I was just...
I agree. You're not upset 99% of the time, but you weren't upset. You were upset because Rob was telling you when I could do something.
I was kind of more being like shitty than I was being mad. I don't know if that makes sense. Like I was sort of trying to be like, it was more like a banter. I wasn't legitimately mad.
Well, but like a half hour later, same text string, but another subject, I said... Justin, because he did something funny, you're the best. He goes, no, you're the best. And then you said, no, Rob is not the best.
No. Okay. Well, that was,
you
maybe,
made a point.
I wish you would have known that that was almost me being okay with me. You know what I mean?
I hearted it. I gave it a
do
love.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yes, like, I wanted that to make sure, like, hey, I'm still going to, like, if I can take a shot at your expense, it's not personal. It's just we're cool.
And I gave it a heart emoji.
Can I say something too? So I'm going to compliment her.
I thought we were on the same page.
I'm going to compliment her. Two things. First of all, I'd rather go than not go. That's all. We'll leave that there.
That's because you're afraid I'll be mad.
Nope. Okay. I'd rather go with everybody from the from Die Laughing than not go. Okay. So that's the first thing. Right. Second thing is, I was reading my Twitter feed and I saw this tweet and I go, that's fucking hilarious. And guess who wrote it?
Katie Robinson.
Yes. Do you want to tell them what it is?
Yeah. There was some People magazine article about like Meghan Markle and Kate Upton and Laura wearing these hottest summer shoe trends. Yes. They're like, the hottest summer shoes can't stop wearing these hottest summer trends. And I just wrote, somebody goddamn it help these women, they cannot stop.
Yes. And I liked it, and then I saw that my beautiful bride wrote it and I was so proud.
No, listen, I don't want Rob to think I could never be legitimately mad at Rob.
I didn't think that you
were. We all spent enough time together where we annoy each other sometimes, but I could never be ever mad at anybody except for Joe.
I was annoyed when Rob didn't back me in the big Mikey debate.
Well, anyway. I was like, the reason I think he's not available is not because I sleep late. It's because I think 98% of the population wouldn't want to get up at 4 in the middle of the night and pack up a campsite and drive to a big job after sleeping outside for 3 straight nights.
Well, I do.
It is weird to me. You think he'd have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and clean up a campsite. Because realistically, this place is like 45 minutes away.
Well, you said Assateague, and I literally went on Google Maps, and I go, well, that's 2 hours to the station. He's got to go home first and shower. So he's got to get there. If at 9 shows, he's got to get there at 8:30. He's probably got to get home at least at 8. So let's call that, you know, it's at least a three and a half
hour.
Yes,
I have to leave at 8.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it takes 3 hours to get home and I also have to shower, yeah, I'd have to wake up. And then also, but that's just when I leave. I have to.
But we're not going there.
Robbie, you were reading all this, right?
No, I actually missed it.
Oh, good.
It was too many texts.
Yes. You can't bring your dog.
I mean, I'm willing to compromise. When I knew you had to do that, I tried to find someplace as close as possible where it wouldn't be inconvenient. Yes. But
you, Shenandoah Valley sounds nice.
I'm in.
It's like not even an hour.
All right. So
it's near Winchester.
You think you were mad at me then. Okay. So.
Oh, boy.
Let me say I went to.
Let's take one last break. We'll come back and we'll finish up. Joe pissing off Katie. Sorry. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hello again, it's Gramps back again urging you to join Patreon. Recently, my son Joe revealed that an engagement ring purchase and a proposal are imminent for him. Rob is feeling more pressure than ever. Can you imagine what it will be like at home for Rob once Katie receives that ring? The scowls and the tension will be unbearable. Don't you want him to finally be able to get that ring and propose to? Hasn't that poor woman suffered long enough? Well, you can help. Become a Rob and Joe subscriber on Patreon. Not only will you receive all the great bonus shows and premium content that's causing such a buzz, but you'll also be giving to a good cause, Robin Tawanda's future. How else is he going to afford that ring? He can't even win that $25 prize at Comedy Kumite. And in case you were worried that I might stop hitting on Tawanda, you need not. Nothing can stop me. Engaged, married, those things never get in my way.
Now back to the Rob and Joe show.
So we went to Keith Mills' retirement party at Little Havana. Legend. We went there, and we're going to probably talk about that a little bit. I mean, it was really just, there was a lot of local celebrities there. I did think what was interesting is that Frank Push actually knew more people than I did.
Frank is a legend in the area. He's much Hello? More popular and likable than you, I guess.
And he was hobnobbing. But we were watching the Oriole game, which they won, by the way, 13-0, which is
in honor of Keith Mills.
Right, 13-0. And they had
all wearing Mills on their jerseys.
They had these uniforms. Speaking of jerseys, they had these uniforms on, and they were Oriole jerseys that had the Maryland flags going down the sleeves.
That's cool.
Okay. No, it was, they looked horrible, okay. Right? As a matter of fact,
you love the Maryland flag.
I love the Maryland flag, but this looked, did you think, Katie, do you agree it looked ridiculous?
Yeah, I mean, they somehow fucked it up.
Yeah, so this, mm-hmm. from her shoulder down to, I guess they're like, you know, the baseball cut, it's the Maryland flag. I'm like, man, those are the worst.
So it didn't work.
It didn't work. It looked horrible. Anyway, fast forward, we're sitting at home that night on the patio, and our neighbors walk out. Okay. They had just come from the Oriole game. Okay? Mm-hmm. And Nicole, the nicest person in the world, is wearing that jersey.
Not, this is the... The cutting board.
That's correct.
Oh my God.
And she was wearing it.
Well, I would never. I'm angry. I'm uncomfortable now.
Now, hold on.
Did you fucking
She didn't buy
say.
The jersey. She was giving. It was jersey day. Everybody got one of these jerseys.
Okay. And she was just at the game?
She was just at the game.
Well, of course she's wearing it.
And she's wearing it. And I said, oh, no. I thought that was the ugliest fucking jersey that I had ever seen.
What?
I didn't say it exactly that way, but I did say, oh, my God, I saw this on TV. I hated those jerseys. And now, she got it for free. It's not like she looked at it, but then I realized, oh, shit.
She was wearing it.
Now she's probably going to be like, oh, now I can't ever wear it out in front of him because he's going to shit all over it.
You are the worst. You
I
really
am
are.
The worst. As soon as I said, I'm like, why did I need to tell her that I didn't like that jersey.
Robbie, do you think that somehow deep inside Joe is purposely saying these things because he knows it's good Rob and Joe show content?
I swear that's not why Lee Katie.
Subconsciously?
Subliminally, that's what's going on. Just like You're I lucky am. There's no chat tonight or they'd be destroying him.
Yeah, maybe subconsciously I am, but can I say this real quick?
Sure, Joe. Say whatever you want.
I've been, you know who's been texting me? Remember the young people that I hung out with at the resort? Remember I had to immediately befriend young people, but I had to act like I was cool or whatever?
Yeah. Are they listening to the podcast?
They say they love it. But the neighbors, that's the thing they love the most, that I have no control over.
Can we call these people and get their opinion on you? You're on vacation trying to skew young Joe. Not tonight. We've got a full show. We're running out of time.
You know,
I made dinner.
We'll call them. But I will say this.
And I used the cutting board.
You did?
Awesome.
Yes.
What'd you put on a cherry tomato?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah. I cut cherry tomatoes with it.
Yeah.
You want to use her jersey to wipe it off?
Yeah, that makes sense. So the one couple, Steve and Katie, right? Steve and Kate. She said, I have an idea for a restaurant. Did we tell you this already?
Oh, my God. Can I say what it was?
Wait. Is this are we ruining our good idea? Is it going to...
No. Never happening.
You're so safe.
Sorry,
Nobody's
Kate,
stealing
if you're
this idea.
She said, I have the greatest idea for this little restaurant.
Oh, boy.
Called Wings...
They sell wings.
Rings
they sell
and frozen
rings.
Things.
And they sell...
Onion what? Rings?
Onion, they this what
they
you
sell bought. Wings, onion rings, and frozen things.
Now, I can't remember. Was it frozen drinks or was it
ice
cream?
It was like popsicles and...
Yes, and she thought it was a fucking great idea.
She thought it was $1 million.
Because things...
No.
By the way, do you have anything rhyme with ing? You can put that on every fucking... And it becomes a verb. The ing is forever. Well, you can never stop putting ing on things.
I want a little more variety.
Yeah,
do I want
no
a popsicle,
kidding.
An
although,
onion ring, or a chicken
although
wing?
Although cheeseburger only sells cheeseburgers.
Yeah, but a cheeseburger is a meal.
They
not
also serve fries
guys,
and shakes.
Well, there they sell onion rings and frozen things.
It does sound like a fucking horrible idea, but there are wing places. If you just specialize in wings.
No, it's a horrible idea.
The name is horrible. That's
how
the thing.
Many restaurants in the world sell onion rings, but not French fries.
By the way, just go to a gas station. They have wings, rings, and frozen things.
That's true. But here's the thing: It's not that great of a name. If it was a really good name and you wanted to make it a wing joint, you could do that. There are...
She is creating a name and building it around the name instead of creating an idea and then forming the name.
Coming up with a great name. And by the way, the name sucks. So if you had a great name, sure.
How about... There's a thing called Wings Things... Wings
oh,
and
Wings
Things.
Oh, Wings and Things. I've ordered it from there. Is that around here?
Well, Wings and Things. By the way, that's the other thing. Half the name's already been used. Yeah. You know, dude, she just took two shitty things and shoved it in the middle of a good name.
Well, Wings and Things means, hey, we have really good wings, but we have a lot of other things.
Yeah. I like Wings and Things. That also has a nice flow to it.
No, we only sell onion. Can I have some french fries? No. We only sell onion rings.
We should start.
Can I have a Coke? No. You can have a Slurpee.
Let's start like a Shark Tank-like podcast where we take the worst ideas and we call it Wings, Rings, and Frozen Things.
Hey, we should
give us their business ideas.
You know what? We should do a million-dollar idea segment, and everyone has to bring their million-dollar idea.
Maybe we can get five-plated clothing to make a Wings, Rings, and Frozen Things.
Did you know that Frank invented icicle lights before they were icicle lights?
He didn't do anything with it. Hey, I have a story, and we can end on this.
Okay.
God, this is... Hey, Gramps might not even remember this. That's how sad this is, right?
Oh, boy.
Gramps... Robbie, tell me if this rings a bell. Gramps invented the penny saver. Robbie, do you remember this?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking
He invented
about.
It.
What do you mean he invented it?
Are you familiar with the penny saver?
Isn't that periodical? Like,
it's probably, the internet probably has ruined it. But at one point in time, every week, a magazine would come out and you could pay for advertising in it.
Yes.
Or if it was under a certain amount of characters, you could advertise in it for free. And it was probably, I don't know.
You're selling a couch or you're, it needed a
sometimes
roommate
couches,
or?
They had real actual businesses and he, the exact same idea that eventually became the penny saver about 2 years before my father went out and started selling ad space at the idea of being in this magazine. And you know what he did? He ended up sitting on it, not doing anything with it. Next thing you know, the penny saver comes out. I'm sure that at its height, the penny saver was worth $100 million.
A lot of pennies. I want to get Gramps' opinion on that on next week when he's back in our new chat room.
I wonder if he's going to remember. Rob, you think he'll remember that?
Oh, yeah. If somebody he can take credit for, he's going to remember.
You think it eats away at him?
I bet he hasn't thought about it until I brought it up.
No, he's forgotten, but when we remind him, he'll remember.
Good show, guys. Thank you, Katie, she's left already.
Stormed out again.
Yes, stormed out. She's made dinner. good show. Again, August 20th, brand new show, Love and Marriage and Murder. And July 21st is the next murder mystery. You can see the DC Improv Hit Me 90s one more time.
I will be on 98 Rock. You're not going to hear it. I'll be on Tuesday, and then next week I'll be on... Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I'm on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You keep trying to steal that Wednesday from me.
Oh, good. So I'm
been over
on...
this third time now.
Thank God. So I'm not on Wednesday.
I'm talking about the afternoon.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm 8, 9, and 10. We got to get this figured out.
Good. Let me get rid of this.
All right. Hey, happy 4th of July, everybody. Shout out to Magoobies. I was there last week. Great times. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Timmy Hall. Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.